Today we are looking at the parable of the seeds and the sower that Jesus told. And I guess we're thinking about how that speaks into us being church together and sharing life together. And I thought it was very interesting and funny that Chris asked me to speak about, he said, use lots of kind of horticultural kind of examples and gardening techniques, which I thought was pretty hilarious. Because, one, I don't have a garden. And my kind of relationship with plants isn't great. Here's a picture of one of my plants in my house. This is a bonsai plant that cost me quite a lot of money. And it said, water sparingly. And so I did water sparingly. And that's what happened. So that's the extent of my gardening knowledge. So we're just going to stick with what Jesus said about seeds, if that's all right. Jesus was talking about sowing seeds and how the seed sown is the message of the kingdom. The seed sown is the gospel. The seed sown is the message that we've been crucified with Christ, and nevertheless we live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. We've been raised. We've been crucified with him, but we've been raised with him to newness of life. We're new creatures in him. An amazing message that brings transformation. And that's what he means when he's saying, if you hear and understand the message of the kingdom, it's going to produce a whole load of fruit in your life. That's the gist of what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if we understand the good soil, he says, is the person or the community that hears and understands the message of the gospel. Because when you hear and when you understand what Christ has done, it brings transformation. It's not just a nice story. There's power in the message. And so good soil is soil that hears and understands the message. And we can apply that to ourselves. But I don't know about you, but I think as church, it's amazing if we are good soil. Because we're not supposed to be doing this journey on our own. Martin Luther said that we need to hear the gospel every day because we forget it every day. And when we come together, we want to be a place where we can remind one another of the good news, that we're not just part of a happy clappy club, that we're not just gathering around a nice sweet story, but actually there's power for transformation in our lives because of the message of the gospel. And so my question is, how do we create a place that is good soil? How, as church, can we support one another and be a place where we hear and understand and continue to hear and understand the amazing message of freedom, the amazing gospel that we're included in the presence of God, that there's no separation between us and God anymore? How do we get to that place? How do we cultivate good soil? Jesus talks about three seeds that did not have a good time, and I think that this might help us to think of how we do church, how we build church together. The first seed fell on the path and got eaten by a bird. Pretty sad. He didn't even manage to put its roots down. It was snatched away. And Jesus said that happened because there was no understanding. I wonder if sometimes we just clock in and out of church without actually engaging with God, with what we believe, and with one another. I wonder if it's easy for us to come and to sing, but not to wrestle with what we believe. And that's why, I guess, teaching is so important. That's why pods and discipleship is so important, where we gather together around the Word of God, and we discuss, and we think, and we ask questions. This year, for me, has been such a year of asking questions that I never felt I should ask. You know, when you're a Christian and you've grown up in a Christian family, and you think there are places, there are things you just don't question. You shouldn't question if the Bible is, you know, God's word or not. But I've just felt a freedom this year to ask those difficult questions. Why does God ask people to kill people in the Old Testament? That's a hard question, isn't it? And I think sometimes we in a church community can shy away from those hard questions. But I have asked those questions, and I'm still asking those questions. And I've wrestled, I've allowed myself to wrestle with those questions this year. And I've found that I don't have any answers, but my appreciation for the Word of God is so much richer because I've allowed myself to ask those questions. And I've spoke with people in my pod. Me and Rob will have discussions about, you know, what do you think of this? This doesn't make sense. This doesn't sound like God. And we discuss and we challenge and we grow because of that. I want to encourage us to be a community that isn't afraid to ask questions, because that's where understanding comes. We've got to allow ourselves the freedom in love and in the presence of God to grapple with hard stuff that we don't understand, because that's where understanding comes from. That's how we grow. And I think that there should be a freedom for us to, in small groups, in our home groups or whatever, in around coffee tables, to ask difficult questions. Don't be afraid. God is big enough to handle your big scary questions. And I think there's a freedom to be found in challenging and not being afraid to ask questions. So the first seed was not good because it fell on the path. There was no understanding. There was no ability to explore the message, to ask questions. The second seed got into trouble because it didn't put any roots down. It didn't put any roots down. It springs up with joy at the message, but when it really gets tough, it shrivels and dies because there's no roots. The fact is that God is good, the message is amazing, but life is hard. And that doesn't change when you hear the message. Life is hard. So how do we create a soil? How does church become a place where our roots can go deep? We've spoken in the past about how our roots can go deep in terms of our devotional life. But something that's really on my heart at the moment that I really feel God speaking to me about is allowing our roots to go deep with one another and creating an atmosphere, a context where we can move past the "hi, how are you doing" stage and go a little bit deeper with one another. One of the ways I really feel that God is stirring me on this, and you will not be surprised, it's around the area of food. Thank you, Lord. I feel the Lord is saying we need to eat more. Okay. It's a word. And what I'm feeling is that we need to eat more together. It was so amazing. We went away as a 7 o'clock service to Carroty Wood. 5-star Carroty Wood. It was wonderful. And the teaching was amazing because we had Rich. The worship was amazing. But the thing that I found most refreshing and where I felt like I encountered God more was around a table. And it began to strike me that much of Jesus' ministry happened around a table. And it began to strike me that much of the early church had church around a table. And I started to think, have we lost something along the way? Have we put a huge emphasis on preaching, which is great? Have we put a huge emphasis on sung worship, which is great? Have we not put a huge emphasis on eating and fellowshipping together? I wonder if we've lost something. And there was a book that I was reading, and I was going to quote something from it because I thought it summed up what I was thinking about. It's a guy called John Crowd, and he writes this: relationship and community does not happen in the rows of a pew. It's in the conversations, the joys, the battles, and the mix of life. It happens over tables and in the mirth of celebration. The love feast, which he's talking about, the early church would have love feasts. He said the love feast was perhaps one of the greatest things we lost to the religious spirit. I think that there might be something for us to explore here, and I don't know how, but I wonder if God might be wanting us to rediscover the power of eating with one another again, because there's something of God to be found. There's something deeply spiritual in eating with one another. It was amazing as we set the table up for one of our meals at the weekend. I had the most amazing conversation with someone in this church who we would perhaps never have stood here preaching. But because we were laying a table together, she began to tell me something from her heart that had immense wisdom, I felt. Something that she carried, something, a gift that God had given her was released to me in the context of setting up a table. I thought that was amazing. And I don't think it was something that necessarily would be released in this context. But for me, it felt like, wow, church. For me, it felt like depth. I think if we want to have good soil, we need to allow for church to be a place of depth. We need church to be a place where we can go deep with one another. And that's vulnerable and scary, but I think powerful. Anyway, just a thought. So, the other seed that gets into trouble is the seed that gets choked by thorns. And Jesus says that that is the cares and worries of life, and it is the deceitfulness of wealth. I thought it's interesting that thorns grow when you don't tend your garden. That's how much I know about gardening. I know that much. If you don't tend your garden, am I getting points for this, Chris? Thorns grow. Okay. And I wonder if when we are cease to be intentional about being with one another, being vulnerable with one another, when we stop being intentional about being generous, when we stop being intentional about the presence of God, I think that's when the thorns of the deceitfulness of wealth, of the worries of this world come in. I don't know about you, but when I'm learning to deal with the worries of life, I'm finding that it's a whole lot better. It's not easier. It's a whole lot better to go through the worries of life with the presence of God than not. And it's so easy to not. It's so easy to be in, you know, worrying about goodness knows what, and for that to consume your mind and your thoughts. And that's why we need one another, and that's why we need to be intentional with one another and be like, let's get in the presence of God. I know you're going through a difficult time. I'm going to come over and we're going to worship together. I know that doesn't take away the worries, but it does shift something. When we come into the presence of God with our worries, something happens. Something happens. And we're not meant to do this on our own. Sometimes the last thing you want to do is worship when you're struggling. The last thing you want to do is to pray. But that's why we're part of the family of God. And we can come around and say, right, let's just go to God together. And I think it's the same with the deceitfulness of wealth. Let's be a community that's intentional about being generous. That generosity is at the heart of what we do, because that produces good soil for the message of the gospel to transform our hearts and lives. So, in summing up, what does it look like to be good soil? It looks like understanding. It looks like asking questions, not being afraid to grapple with the message of the kingdom. It looks like going deep with one another. It looks like, praise God, eating, round tables, getting to know one another. It looks like generosity and faith. It looks like being intentional with one another, making sure that we're covering one another. Jesus sums up by saying, good soil hears and understands. A people that hears from God, is intentional about being in his presence, and understanding and reminding one another of this amazing gospel, this amazing message of the kingdom. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your message. Lord God, that you've made us new. Lord, that you've dealt with our sin and shame. And you've given us newness of life. That you've given us an amazing identity in you. God, that we are sons and daughters of God. Lord, thank you for that message. And Lord, I pray that we would create a place where that message can truly impact our lives and the lives around us. Help us to understand. Help us to allow for depth, Lord, and help us to protect one another through generosity and prayer. Amen.